Okay. Good morning. All right. Today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Zayin in Zvachim. Okay. 14th parak of Zvachim. 14th parak of Zvachim has been dealing with a little bit of Shchut Echutz and Allah Bechutz, but now a lot of Bamas Yachid versus Bamas Sibor. We're on the back end of Kuf Tzayin Amud Beis, 116b, and we're at the, we talk about the discussion that we started with yesterday, was a discussion of offering karbanos bezman hazeh. How about offering a karban nowadays? So we can't, right? We're not in the position to give karbanos nowadays, because, well, we don't have a base of mikdash, and we don't have a mizbeach, but the kedusha of Yerushalayim still continues, and consequently, we are any carbon that we offer outside Yerushalayim would be a violation of Shechut Echutz. The Gemara discussed that earlier. There is a discussion the Gemara had earlier about whether the Kedusha of Yerushalayim still perpetuates, but it seems from the Gemara's conclusion, and it certainly seems from the Gemara that we learned yesterday, that the Kedusha of Yerushalayim still perpetuates, and consequently, any carbon that we offer outside is going to be a violation of Shechut Echutz and Halab Echutz. However, wait. Okay? So the Gemara says, however, by Goyim can. Goyim have every ability, have every right and ability to do so. So the Gemara says, we're just going to go back quickly. We're going to just go over some of the Gemara that we did yesterday. So Amar, Va'ovdiko Chavim Bezman Hazeh Rashayim Lasos Kein. So Goyim, if they want to bring a carbon nowadays, they may absolutely do so. I mean, carbon to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously, right? Otherwise, it'd be Avodah Zarah. But they may absolutely do so. Menahan Emili, how do I know that? The Tanu Rabbanan. And so the Gemara continues. Well, I'll start again. We're starting at the top of the page on Kuf Tzayin Amud Beis. It's about eight lines down from the top of the page. Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in a Braisa. There's no Isser for Goyim. For Shechut Echutz, so therefore they can offer carbon outside. Everyone's allowed to build a bummer for themselves. And offer whatever they want. You can't help them. So we have a prohibition to help them. Aiding and assisting in terms of offering them a carbon could be, just a suggestion on my part, could be that there's an Issa d'Rabbanan. It's a precautionary, rabbinic precautionary. Maybe we'll come to do the actual avoda ourselves, right? That might possibly be. But also, we cannot serve as their agents. I'm a Rava, Ularuna, Lushare. But Rava says that if we want to coach them up, if we want to guide them and show them how to do it, that's fine, right? Not show them, but tell them how to do that. That would be fine. So the Gemara continues, Kadeh for Hormuz, Ima de Shvar Malka, because we saw yesterday the story of Ifra Hormuz, who's the mother of Shvar Malka, Shaja Korbana la Rava Shachalei Askua Niale L'Shem Shemayim. So she brings the carbon over to Rav, and she says to Rav, okay, you offer it up. So Rav, Amr Lehu L'Rav Safra L'Racha Bar Ravuna, so he says, Rava, now Rav, of course, can't offer it up, Rava. Amora lived in the 3rd century, approximately, cannot offer up this carbon. So he says, Zilu v'dibritre ulme guvai. So he says, okay, I want you to speak to two young men, two young non-Jewish men, same age, v'chazu hecha damaska, and teach them how to do it, okay? Coach them up, and they'll do it. Now, part of his instructions, Rava, to the two young men, is that you got to take new wood. So in other words, when you use wood to burn on top of the mizbech, it's got to be new wood. And extract a fire. Use some sort of flint, some sort of spade. And offer the carbon. Okay, it's simple. It's really not that complicated. So he instructs them how to do it. So Amalei Abaye, come on. Now, this leads to a technical discussion that the Gemara is about to have. Okay, so because one of the instructions that Rava gives to the two non-Jewish people is to use new wood. Okay, my new wood. So Amalei Abaye, come on, Rav Elazar ben Shemua d'Tanya. Gemara says, quoting in the name of Rav Elazar ben Shemua, Omer Mamiz Bech Shal Yishtamish Bo Hejot, Av Eitzim Shal Yishtamish Behem Hejot. So the Gemara says that the wood has to be wood shelo yishamish b'em hedjot, that was never used by hedjot, by mundane people. So in other words, what I don't understand, essentially this is what the Gemara is asking Rava, is your position, your instructions to the non-Jew was overall good. I don't understand why you needed new wood. That's the part I didn't get. Because there is a braisa out there espousing the view of Rav Elazar ben Shammu who says that you need new wood, but good, that's his opinion. And not only is that his opinion, v'hamod Rav Elazar ben Shammu, but Bama, look, even Rav Elazar ben Shammu's hakpada, to use new wood, wood that was never used before, that's only by Obama. D'tanya kasev echad amar v'itein David la'arnan bimkom shaklei zahav mishkal shesh me'os. I'm sorry. Let me just retrace my steps just a moment. By Obama, when you're offering outside the Beis HaMikdash, so you don't have to use new wood. Even Rav Elazar ben Shammu says that you don't have to use new wood. You could use old wood. You could recycle. And the Gemara is now going to prove to us, the proof is going to be a little bit long, but the Gemara is going to prove to us that when it comes to Bama, so you don't have to use new wood, you could use recycled wood. So Rava, why did you tell these two young non-Jewish boys that when they offer the carbon, they have to use new wood? That's what I don't understand. So let's go through the Gemara's proof. The Gemara is now going to prove that you don't need new wood. The Tanya we learned in Ebrais, Akasav Echad Omer, Vayitain David La'arnon, B'makom Shakle Zahav, Mishkal Shesh Me'os. Okay, what the Gemara over here is going to do is going to point a discrepancy. But before we talk about the discrepancy, let me first give you a little bit of background. Shmuel Chav Dalet, Shmuel Beis, I should say, Perek Chav Dalet. So what happens over here in Perek Chav Dalet is, first of all, David takes a census, David HaMelech. And you're not allowed to do that. You can't count Jewish people. Okay, you can count Talesim, you can count yarmulkes. In certain communities you can count beards, but you can't count Jewish people.
The just didn't do right. Otherwise he can count, right?
That's no, you can't count. You can't.
But he didn't count the right way. That's why.
Oh, accepted. Point taken. So the psukim go on. Kadosh Baruch Hu was very unhappy. There's an onus. David has to suffer a punishment. That takes us to the middle. And then at the end of Perek Chav Dalet, Sukkim should sound familiar. By Yomer David El God, Sarli Ma'od, Nifla Na Biad Hashem Ki Rabim Rachamav Biad Adam Al Epolam. Right, he was. Right, so it should sound familiar. Right, he was given the choice of exactly what kind of punishment he wants. So he says, "I'd rather be punished by Kadosh Baruch Hu directly, and not fall into the hands of others." Vayitein Hashem Dever BeYisrael MeHaboker Vad Eis Moed VeYamas MeNa'am MiDan Vad BeYashav Shivim Elef Ish. 70,000 people died on account of this. VeYishlach Yado HaMalach Yushalayim SheHasav VeYinachem Hashem Al Ra'a VeYom Al Amach HaMashchis Ba'am Ra'a VeAta Heref Yadecha UMalach Hashem Hayam Goren Arvona Yevusi. And finally, Kadosh Baruch Hu stopped the plague and people stopped dying. And then we take it to the end of the Perek, and in the end of the Perek, so David says, okay, good, I'm going to offer a carbon to Kadosh Baruch Hu, all right, on account of the fact that the dever stopped, the plague stopped. So where does he offer a carbon? Now, there's no Beit HaMikdash at this point in time, and Shiloh has been destroyed. Okay. So, V'yovo God El David B'yamahu V'yamalo Alei Akim L'Hashem Mizbech B'goren Aravna. So you're going to go to a person, sometimes he's called Arnan, sometimes he's called Arvana. Either way you have it, so right here is also a Kriya of Aksiv of Arnaya. Whichever way you have it, so you're going to go to the granary of Arvana. Vayal David Kidvar Gad Kasher Tziva Hashem Vayeshkef Aravna Vayaras HaMelech. And he comes along and he goes to the granary of Aravana. It doesn't seem to be Jewish. In fact, the Torah describes him as being a Yevusi. Vayomer Aravna Madua Ba Madoni HaMelech Al-Avdo Vayomer David Liknos Mimcha Es HaGorin Livnos Mizbech La'Hashem V'Seyatzer Megefa Me'al Ha'am. Okay, so I want to offer up on the Mizbech on your granary, and so that the plague should stop. Vayomer Aravna Al-David Yikach Vayal David HaMelech HaTov Be'inav Re'a Bakar La'Ola V'Hamaragim Uchle'a Bakar La'Eitzim. So when Aravana, when he hears this, so his immediate response is, buy it from me. No, don't buy it from me. I'll give it to you. I'll give you animals to bring as a carbon. I'll give you the morigim. Okay? Does he have given an English translation for this? Okay? Threshing tools. Uchlei abakar la'etzim. And you'll take it all and you'll use all my tools. Just use it for the fuel for the fire. Hakol nasan ravana hamelech lamelech. Okay. And David was insisting that he buy it, and that's the last couple of psukim. And that's the end of Sefer Shmuel. Nope, I can't do it. I got to buy it from you. But you can, David. It's a goren, it's a bakar. Bekesef shkalim chamishim. Here in Shmuel Beis, it's reported that when David buys it, he buys it for 50. Okay, 50 shkalim. Even Shem David Mizbech Hashem, Yahu Alos, Rishlamim, Beyaser Hashem La'arz, Bet Teyatzar, Megafah, Me'al Yisrael, right, Chazak. That's the end of Shmuel Beis.
What's he buying for 50, the wood?
All good questions. So, now, I told you, the proof is going to get a little bit long over here. It's going to get a little bit detailed. But all we're trying to show from all this, right, the place we want to get to, is that when it comes to Obama, so you could recycle wood. And that's the whole point that we're making over here. But again, it's going to get a little... We're gonna veer a little bit off. So Vahamoda, second wide line on the page. Vahamoda of Elazar ben Shamua, Babama Detani Kasav Echadam of Itain David Larnam Bamakum Shaklezav Mishkal Shesh Meos. So now the first thing the Gemara does is it quotes the pasuk in Divrei Hayamim. Now in Divrei Hayamim, where all this information is recorded and repeated and reviewed, but there is discrepancy between Divrei Hayamim and what we find in the original story when the story is originally presented to us. So in Divrei Hayamim it says 600. However, when you look at Shmuel Beis, it says 50. So that's an obvious discrepancy. 600 versus 50. So how do you deal with that? So Haketza Gova Mikol Sheba V'Sheva Chamishim Shein Sheish Meos. Oh, Gemara has a wonderful way of dealing with the discrepancy, and that is, it's 50 per shevet. 12 shvatim, 600 shkalim. Okay, that's one way to deal with the discrepancy. Rabbi Omer Mishum Abba Yosef Ben Dustai, Bakar Ve'etzim Umakum Mizbeach Benun. You're right, Michael, your answer. Right, it's that the cow, the wood, and the area for the Mizbeach, that he purchased for 50, the Cholabai is Kula B'Sheish Meos. Oh, by the way, the area that he purchased, meaning this granary, ends up, of course, being the Makum, the Beis HaMikdash, but... Yeah. Rav Elazar ben Shamua Omer, Bakar Ve'etzim Umakum Mizbeach Menun V'Chol Abayis Kula B'Sheish Meos Dechsiv. He deals with a discrepancy by saying that 50 and 600 represent different items for purchase. The 50 was for the actual Mizbeach, and the entire area was for 600. And here we go. Here's the point. That what did Arvana offer? He said, take the morigim, right, which are were his tools, his farm tools, and take it and use it for the wood. So you see that what he was able to do was take wood and recycle wood. Okay. And now the question goes back to Rava. Rava, you were so insistent that when, right, the mother of Shvur Malka wants to offer a karban, so your instructions were they got to use new wood. No, because even according to Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua, it says that's true, you need new wood. That's only the base of Mikdash. But when you're offering an Obama, so you could use recycled wood. Now, it is interesting over here, I'll point it out, that the Gemara is assuming in this story that we're offering an Obama. And we are, meaning the base of Mikdash is not yet built. But it is on the Makom, it's on the place where the base of Mikdash will be built. But still, the Gemara feels that the Gemara's assumption throughout this whole give and take is that it's a bama. It has the category of a bama, and we see that you're allowed to offer recycled wood on a bama. Rava, in his defense, will say, "V'Rava amalacha hasam nami bechadati." So Rava has a very simple defense, although it's a dochek, it's certainly not the simple pshat, is that the tools that Arvana was offering was new tools, never used before. Okay. All right.
They couldn't be out of wood. I don't know how to call that. It's all oaks. They couldn't be wooden.
Yeah. The Gemara is assuming they're wood.
Yeah.
Right. It's the Gemara assumes it's wood.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's Rava's defense, and so Rava says, "I'm telling you that was new tools, never used, and therefore it's not recycling." Okay. So my morigim, the Gemara now, as long as we're here, the Gemara just goes and wonders what the word morigim is. So Amar Ula Mita Shel Torbil. So it's mita shortil bil. So the Gemara then asks the next question: my mita shortil bil, good. What's that? So Amar Abaye Iza de Karkaska de Daishan. So the Abaye gives a description of it. Okay, that helps us not a lot. I'm sorry, de Daishan de Shai. Sorry, Rashi says it was some sort of threshing tool used for the threshing. Amar Abaye Mikra. Hine samtich lamoreg. Okay, as long as we gave now good pshat, I don't want to say good pshat, but as long as we gave a pshat for what the word marigim is, so the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu, hine samtich lamoreg, charutz chadash bal pifios, makri le rava lebrei, verami le krai ahadade. The two psukim contradict one another. Kosov eitein David la arnan, uksiv vayikein David. Ha ketzah, so the Gemara again goes through the discrepancy of 50 versus 600. So the Gemara says, okay, so like we said earlier, so we already saw in the Braisa, it's kind of hard to understand what the Gemara is adding to the discussion. So 50 from every tribe, so that equals a total 600. The Akati Kasha, and the Gemara says, but still there's somewhat of a difficulty because Hasam Kesef Hachazahav, the actual coin that was used, meaning in Shmuel Bet, it says b'kesef shkalim chamishem. Kesef is silver. In Divrei Hayamim, it actually says gold. So gold, silver, which one it is? El hachi kamer gov kesef b'mishkal sheish meos zahav. The actual coinage that was collected was silver, but the value of it was gold, meaning it was valued at 60 golden whatever coin they used. But the, I'm sorry, 600, right? But the actual coin that was used was actually silver, valued at 600 gold. Okay, period. All right, that ends that discussion. So again, it all boils down to the goyim can bring karbanos even bezman hazeh. They can. There's no issue of shchut echutz when it comes to goyim. We saw Rava instructed Ifra Horm is the mother of Shmuel Malka to offer karbanos outside the. Well, after the destruction of the Second Temple, and that's fine, and that's not a problem whatsoever. You can coach him up, you're allowed to teach him how to do it, you can give instruction, but that's where it ends. And then, a technical discussion the Gemara had about whether or not you're allowed to recycle wood.
They didn't bring up the example in Tanakh, about Elisha?
Elisha, but that was Harasha. That was a special dispensation.
Not only Yahu, but Elisha, that was...
Oh, I'm sorry, I was talking about Eliyahu.
Yeah, but Elisha.
Elisha also offered outside?
He used the wood of the ox.
I see what you're saying. Uh-huh. Interesting. Okay. No. All right. The Gemara doesn't bring it up, and okay, I don't know enough to bring it up, so even better. Kachim kalam ne'achalam b'chol machana Yisrael. Amar avhuna b'chol mekamos Yisrael. Okay, now, during this period in time, okay, we're still early in the Mishnah, and during this period in time, so your Kachim Kalim, right during the period of Gilgal, you can eat it anywhere. You're not confined to any place, because, for the simple reason, you could offer it anywhere, so once you can offer it anywhere, you can eat it anywhere as well. And he goes on to say, the Mishnah went to say, B'chol Machana Yisrael, as long as within the camp of Israel. So anywhere geographically within Eretz Yisrael, you're allowed to eat Kachim Kalim. So I'm Rav Huna b'chol mekamos Yisrael. So Rav Huna says, you have to be b'chol mekamos Yisrael. Now what's Rav Huna adding to the whole discussion? He says, b'chol mekamos Yisrael. So the Gemara at first, when the Gemara hears Rav Huna, the Gemara says, v'amachna lo have? Well, you don't have to. What does that mean, b'chol mekamos Yisrael? At first, the Gemara assumes that what Rav Huna means is, you don't have to be even geographically in Israel. Meaning, as long as you're somewhere, you can eat Kachim Kalim. Gemara says it can't be. Eisve Rav Nachman la Rav Huna, machanos b'midbar lo have. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? Even when they were in the desert, there was a concept of machana, of being a camp. V'atayim we learned in a braisa. Kishim shemachana b'midbar, kach machana b'yushalayim. Look, in the desert when we traveled, so when we traveled, there are two opinions on exactly how we traveled, single file, right, shevet after shevet, or we traveled as we parked in the desert, but whatever the case is, in other words, we were confined to a certain area of the actual encampment of the Jewish people. And that parallels to Yerushalayim. The city of Yerushalayim is like Machane Yisrael traveling through the desert. Yerushalayim to Har Abayis, Machane Yisrael. Well, from Yerushalayim to Har Abayis, that's Machane Yisrael. Me Har Abayis le Shar Nikonor. from Har Habayis, anywhere within Har Habayis. Har Habayis is an area, a large area, that has in it the Azara and the Beis HaMikdash. So that's Machane Leviyah. Mikan ve'elach, once you enter Sharnikana is that eastern gate, which you see on the west side over there. Okay, so Machane Shechina, so that's the area of Machane Shechina, ve'heina and Klein Shemim Midbar, that's the climb of the Midbar. So in other words, the Gemara's point is like this. There's a concept called Machane Yisrael. So how could you tell me that anywhere where a Jew is, Rav Huna, you really mean that anywhere where a Jew is, he can eat kachim kalim? That's not true. You have to be within a machane. Now it's true that during the years of Gilgal, so you don't have to be in Yerushalayim, but you still have to be somewhere in the camp of the Jewish people. Ela'ema b'chol makom machane Yisrael. So the Gemara says, okay. So what we'll do simply is we'll go back to Rav Huna, and we'll say that's what Rav Huna meant. He meant machane Yisrael. So now the Gemara says, okay, if that's what he meant, so what did he add to the whole discussion? It's exactly what the Mishnah told us, pshita. It's obvious. So the Gemara says, no, because here's the Chiddush. Chiddush is, if I shecht it within a certain area, let's say I shecht it within the curtains of Gilgal, and I take it out, I might have thought that there'll be a psul of Yotzei. Kamash Malan. So the Chiddush is that there's no such thing as a psul of Yotzei. Meaning, once I have license to eat it wherever Machane Yisrael may be, so there's no longer a psul of Yotzei. The Gemara says, maybe that's not true. I'm a Krah. Benasa o amoed. Alpha pishanasa o amoed hu. So the Gemara says, no. Even in the desert, when they travel, it doesn't matter. The Machane Yisrael still qualifies as Machane Yisrael. Meaning to say that as long as you're within the camp of the Jewish people, so you have full entitlement to eat. Tanya Rashbi Omer Odecher Saisa Vechel Ezros Nashim He. Okay, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Braisa quotes the opinion of the Rashbi, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, and he says that we've been so far discussing three levels of kedusha: Machane Yisrael, Machane Leviyah, Machane Shechina. And if, let's take that to Yerushalayim, the city of Yerushalayim, the area of Har Habayis, and the Azara. What the Rashbi does is that he adds a fourth level. And the fourth level that he adds is Vechel Ezros Nashim. This area over here. Okay? We talk, Har Habayis is an area that is all this area outside. This is the Azara, this is the temple courtyard, this has more Kedusha. Ezros Nashim, right, Kipshuta, the simple pshat is Ezros Nashim is just the rest of Har Habayis. It happens to be that it has a wall around it, but it's no different than the rest of the Har Habayis. What the Rashbi says is no, this is actually a mid-level. This is more Kedusha than Har Habayis, less Kedusha than the Azar. That's the opinion of the Rashbi of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai.
But it's still considered within Machane Leviyah or Machane...
It's somewhere in between. He gives an area in between. And so what? So Rashi tells us, the second to last Rashi on the page, Oda Cheresaisa Machane Revias Chaluka Mehar Habayis Umeazara. V'lo Hayu Onshin Aleh Ala Nechnas La B'Tuma, meaning you're not going to get punished for walking into it if you're Tamei, unlike the Azara, the temple courtyard, where if you're Tamei Mace and you walk in there, you are going to get punished. That's Tumas Mikdash, the violation of the Tumas Mikdash. Walking into the Ezros Nashim, you won't get it. But Maseches Kelim, Mefarsh Mahi Chaluka Mehar Bayis. And if you look at Maseches Kelim, you'll see exactly, according to the Rashbi, so what legal difference is there between Har Habayis versus the Ezros Nashim?
It's actually, there are 10. It's it before Kiddush and Shabbat is funded. Right there.
Oh, you quote the sixth Mishnah.
Yeah, but it's the 10 level
up. Esther Kedusha Hussein.
It's the 10 level up Kedusha, not just
correct, but that's correct. But once you go, right, Lefnim and Achoma, you'll see in the...
That's why the difference, what the difference is.
Correct. Ezros Nashim Mekudeshes Mimeno Shein Tvul Yom Nechnas Lasham Ve'in Chayav Malachatas. Okay, good. Mishnah Kalim. You know, Rabbi Rabinovicki wrote a sefer on Masechta Kalim. So Kalim is a huge Masechta. It's 30 prakim of Kalim. So I asked him what I thought was just a wonderful question. So I said to him, how come you wrote on Perek Beis to Perek Lamed? Right? He wrote from chapter 2 to chapter 30. He didn't write anything on chapter 1. So he looked at me and he smiled and he says, that question comes from a person who never learned Masechta Kalim. So that's, you know, slightly mortified. You don't learn unless you embarrass yourself. So slightly mortified, I said, that's correct. That's absolutely correct. And it turns out that the first parak of Kalim is an overview, meaning it gives you broad distinctions between, like you just saw, broad distinctions between Eretz Yisrael versus other nations and Yerushalayim versus the rest of Eretz Yisrael, and it speaks in very broad strokes. And then once you get to Perek Beis, then that's the details, that's the nuts and bolts, so to say, of Masechta Kalim. Okay.
So there are 10 levels.
Yeah.
I'm confused. Uh-huh. 4 levels of kedusha or 10 levels of kedusha?
There are overall, in other words, the Mishnah Kalim makes 10 distinctions. Right. But once you get to Yerushalayim, so there are 3, and according to the Rashbi, there are 4. Okay, but the 3 is Yerushalayim, then Har Habayis, and then the Azara, the actual temple courtyard. Okay, for example, okay, and you need to know this anyway for the upcoming Gemara. For example, so if you are a Balkari, okay, if you're Tumas Balkari, so you can't go into Ezra Shechina, you can't go into Machane Shechina, which means you can't go into the Azara, and you can't even go into Har Habayis. A Balkari cannot go into Har Habayis.
But this makes a difference, like the hell.
Just wait. Just hear me out. Okay, mm-hmm. If you're Tumas Mace, okay, you can go into Har Habayis. You're allowed to go into Har Habayis, but you can't go into the Azara. Right. So in other words, depending on your level of Tumah, that's going to allow you into certain areas. Once you get into the Ezra Shechina, Machane Shechina, which is the temple courtyard, the Azara, you can't have any Tumah. Right. Tumas Mace, Tumas Balkari, you can't have anything. Right. Okay. So the Gemara says like this. So, Shnei Machano, some sort of Echel Azar, it's Nashim Hivalo, Hayon Shon Allah. Uvishilo, and this is the reason why we're quoting this Braisa, and when we're describing Shilo, Lo Hayu Alo Shnei Machanos Bovad. Oh, Shilo only had 2 Machanos, period. That is the end of the Braisa. The Gemara says, what does that mean? So, Hay Minay Lo Havu. Meaning, in Shilo, we're describing, we usually talk about 3 segments, and again, according to the Rashbi, there are 4, but leave the Rashbi out of this discussion. In other words, we talk in general about 3 levels of Kedusha, Machane Yisrael, Machane Leviya, Machane Shechina, and when in Shiloh, there are only 2 levels, 2 rings of Kedusha, and not a 3rd. So the Gemara wants to know which one was left out. So, Amarava, Haiminai lo havo, Amarava, Mistaba de Machane Leviya, Have. So Rava says, well, look, if left to my logic, I would tell you that Machane Leviya, of course, was there. Why Disakadach Machana Leviya Lohavai? Because if you want to tell me that there was no level of Machana Leviya, the mid level, Nimsu Zavim Tume Mesumishtach and Chutz Machana Achas. It turns out now that your Zav and Balkari, Zav and Balkari are essentially the same. It's different, physiologically it's different, but Tuma wise it's the same. They're going to be chased out of the same place. And we know that's not correct. Because we know Mishtach and Chutz Machana Achas, Vatar Amra. Lo yitamu es machanehem. Tein machane lezeh, machane lezeh. We know that the Torah dissects the two. The Torah separates the two. There's an area where the Zav is removed from, and there's a separate area where the Tumas Mace is removed from. So if machane leviya were in there, if that mid-level area is not there, so then it turns out then that the Tumas Mace and the Zav are being chased out to the same place. And then you lose out the Machaneim. So Amale Rava. So Rava says, okay, so then what? So if Machane Leviya has to be there, so then what are you telling me? That there's no Machane Yisrael? There's no Yerushalayim area? Salamai Machane Yisrael Lohave, Nimsu, Zavim, Mitzrayim, Mishtachim, Lamakam Echad. So the place they chased from is not going to be the same place, but the place they chased to is going to be the same place. Vatar Amra, Badad Yeshev. But we know when it comes to the Mitzorah, there has to be a concept of the Mitzvah that has to be outside of every Machana. The Torah says, Badad Yeshev, he sits by himself. Shelo Yeshev Tamid Acherimo. That nobody else can sit with the Mitzvah. Meaning there's no other Tumah that gets as cast out, right, excluded as the Mitzvah. So he goes outside of even Machane Yisrael. So there has to be, in other words, essentially what the Gemara realizes is there has to be Machane Levi. so we could separate our Tumas Mase and our Zav, and there has to be Machane Yisrael, so that the Mitzor could be sent out of Machane Yisrael. You know, as the bad joke goes, right, why are there two shuls? Because I got to point to which one I'm not davening at. So I need Machane Yisrael so that the Mitzorah, but this is not a joke, the Mitzorah has to be out of that place. So the Gemara says, Allah Olam Kulu Tal Sahava. So the Gemara says, look, what I realize now is Shiloh had all three levels. It had the Machane Shechina level, Levi level, and Yisrael level. Has to be. Okay, now if that's true, so now go back to the Braisa, and you got to say a pshat in the Braisa. The Braisa says, Uvishila lohavu ela shnei machanos bovad. By Shiloh, there are only two machanos. So say a pshat. So the Gemara says, okay, we'll say a pshat. So ela shnei machanos leklita. So the Gemara says, we're talking about klita, we're talking about ir miklat, sanctuary. So the Gemara says that when it comes to Shiloh, it only has two levels in terms of its ability to serve as an area of refuge. What does that mean? So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, Rashi says, the Nistalka Torah's Machan Levia Miliklot es Harugim Shogeg. It doesn't have the status of Machan Levi vis-a-vis Ir Miklat. Okay. 48 cities. 48 Ir Are Levim. Right? The Levim were given 48 cities. To draw an analogy, it was like federal land. Okay? It wasn't given to anyone of the Shvatim. It was just simply Machane Levia. And so in the they served this, it has a twofold purpose. Number one, it's a place for Levim to live because they weren't given states, they weren't given Shvatim. And two, the other purpose it served is that it was collate. It served as refuge. If somebody killed another person b'shogeg inadvertently, so he runs to the Ir Miklat. Now I know you right in the Torah you read about three on one side and three on the other side. That was the original plan. But altogether there were 48 cities of the Levium, right? The six original plus another 42 on top of that. So it comes out to 48 cities of the Levium. So they're collate. Okay? So now what the Gemara is telling us is that Shiloh didn't have this Machane Levia vis-a-vis its ability to be collate. It can't be collate. Shiloh can't be collate. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, Now the Gemara says, okay. So now what that sounds like is that when they were traveling through the desert, so sounds like the Machane Levi in the desert. Right, in the desert, it was almost like concentric circles. The center was Machane Shechina, right, the place where the Mishkan was. The area around that is where the Levim were, and the area around that was where Yisrael was. So the Gemara says, what you sound like you're saying is that when they travel through the desert, so that Machane Levia, the second circle, the second concentric circle, is actually going to be collate. If somebody inadvertently kills in the desert, that area can serve as an area of refuge. So the Gemara says, correct. Right, that's absolutely correct. So Machane Levia in. The Hatayin, the Gemara says, we learned in a Braisa. V'samti lecha makom b'chayecha. So the Gemara, let me pause correctly. V'samti lecha. And I'm going to place for you. Kadosh Baruch Hu is talking to Moshe. Meaning even you're going to see an area that's collate. Right. Makom b'chayecha. Makom makomcha. Right. And makom over here means your place. Meaning Moshe, what are you? You're a Levi? Good. Where you live is going to serve as klita. Asher neshama, and it says that you have to run over there. Melamed shemegalim b'midbar, that even in the desert, if one were to kill another in the desert inadvertently, so he runs. And now we know where does he run to? Laechan golan lamachne levia, mikan amru, and then the brisa continues. Ben Levi shaharag. What if a Ben Levi were to kill? Right, somewhat of a conundrum. So in other words, I know that if I kill inadvertently, so I run to Machane Levia, that serves as my city of refuge. What if you live in the city of refuge? So what do you do then? So what you do is you go from one plach to another plach. Again, giving you a simple analogy, it's like a county. You go from one county to another county, but you stay in Machane Levia. The im gala lepalcho, palchu kolto. Now, if you happen to go to your own plach, your own county, so palach palchol kolto, It'll absorb you. It'll serve as the refuge.
Can't you within the city?
Huh?
Can't you within the city or another city?
No, within the entire Levi area, meaning the Levi area is a total area. Within the area of the Levium, there are different, divided into different plach.
You're not talking about the cities. What if it was in your Miklat?
No, the entire, what? Wait, I'm confused. What?
Are we talking at the time of Machaneh or at the time of cities?
No, right now we're talking about in the desert. In the desert, there was one Machaneh Leviyah.
Okay.
Right? And if you're Ben Levi and you kill, so what do? So the Raisa says you go from one plach to another plach. Okay? So.
Did anyone kill inadvertently during the 40 years in the Midbar?
I'm not sure if that's a fair question. I'm not, you know. I'm getting older, but I'm saying that's, you know. I don't know. I don't have any source.
For that.
First hand knowledge.
Right. Okay. So the Pocha Pocha Kalto. My Kram Ravacha Bre Ravika Kibayir Makalto Yashev Ir Shakaltos Shakaltosu Kfar. Right? And the Gemara quotes the Pasuk, where do we see this exactly? So the Pasuk says, Kibayir Miklato Yashav. The city Miklato that served as refuge, meaning Ir Shakaltosu Kfar, meaning even if you're in a city that already is serving as refuge, and it happens to be that you're there, so then it's Miklat Kfar. Take a look at the Tosfos over here. Tosfos Yir Shaklato Kvar. So the Gemara says, "Ikar Kaber Otzech Sharag Beir Miklato V'Tavai Tinina B'Makos Berak Beis Harag Ba'Oso Ha'Ir Golam Mishchuna L'Shchuna." Okay. These points. Meaning there are two points that are essentially speaking to the same idea. Number one, what if you're a Ben Levi? And number two, what if you're already sent to a city of refuge, and in the city of refuge, you goofed again. You killed somebody in the city of refuge. So Tosfos quotes the Gemara in Makos, and the Gemara in Makos says, "Harag ba'oso ha'ir, gola mishchuna l'shchuna." So it says, okay, so you go from one district in the Ir Mikla to another, one neighborhood to another neighborhood. V'levi gola mi'ir l'ir. However, Tosfos is bothered because the Gemara in Makos says that if you're a Ben Levi, you actually have to go to another city. Okay.
The city is not that big.
No. So Tosfos is a little bit bothered because the murderer who murders again in the Ir Miklat, so the Gemara in Makos says that's fine, so you'll just simply go to another neighborhood. Okay. However, the Ben Levi that kills, the Gemara in Makos says he actually has to go to another city. Well, we're learned in our Gemara, that's not necessary. Our Gemara sounds like you just have to go to another community in the same city. So v'shemu haino lechatchila de ben levi gola mi'ir la'ir. Avel di'eved harmin adim gola soch pachol pachol kolto. So maybe Tosu suggests the difference between our Gemara in Zvachim versus the Gemara in Makos is the difference between lechatchila and b'di'eved. Okay? It's interesting, meaning I know Rav Shechter spoke about this a lot. In other words, we talk about lechatchila versus b'di'eved usually on issues which are midrabanan, right? But over here, like the Torah is giving you like the preferred way to do it, and you know b'di'eved it works if you do it this way, right? So lechatchila, if you're a Ben Levi, you should go to another city. B'di'eved, if you stay in the same city, it works. Right? So that's one suggestion that Tosfos makes, the difference between our Gemara in Zvachim versus the Gemara in Makos. Okay. And Tosfos gives another suggestion as well. Second suggestion, Tosfos is a little bit difficult. But anyway, that's the basics of it. Okay, so...
There's a difference between Levi and the Levi is his town.
Right.
But the guy that murdered, even though he's living there,
it's not his town. Understood. I agree with you. In other words, the Gemara in Makos by itself would have been fine. But then you compare the Gemara in Malchus to our Gemara over here. That's where the difficulty arises. Okay, so just to wrap it up. So the Gemara quotes a brice on the bottom of the Amud, on the bottom of the previous Amud. It says that in Shiloh there were only two Machanos, which means that there wasn't a third Machaneh. The Gemara says in terms of Kedusha, it can't be. In terms of the world of Tumah Tahara, it can't be. Even by Shiloh, there had to be three levels of Kedusha. the Shechina, the Levi, and the Yisrael. So what does it mean? So the Gemara concludes, what it means is that Shiloh doesn't serve as an Ir Miklat. Even though it houses the Beis HaMikdash, even though you may view it as, quote-unquote, federal land, and the Levi can get his refuge over there, the Gemara says that's not true. Shiloh did not serve as an Ir Miklat.
Do the Ir Miklat have any kedusha that says about the Levians believing the Asherim were not forced? Does it have any kind of
superior? When Rabbi Goldberg's brother came, he spoke about the degree of kedusha that the Ari Miklat has. That was his topic.
Is there any city right now that's what it used to be?
I don't know. Okay, Bala Gilgal, Tana Rabbanan. Okay. We're going to now discuss, the rest of today's daf, it's short. The Gemara is going to discuss now what can actually be offered on the Bamos. Okay. We're discussing now the 14-year period, 14 years of conquest and division of the land. So during those 14 years, there was a central Bamos set up in Gilgal. And during those 14 years, anyone who wants to offer a carbon in their backyard may. So, kol nidav v'nidav hayakrav bebama, she'ein nidav v'nidav ein krav bebama. Anything which is voluntary could be offered up on a bama. Anything which is not voluntary cannot be offered up on a bama. Mincha unezirus craven bebama. Divrei Rabbi Meir. A carbon mincha and your nazir karbanos can be offered on a bama. This is the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Okay. What's super important to understand and to realize is that you have to know which bama we're talking about. And it gets a little bit confusing, but Rashi, however, is very clear about it. Meaning that during this 14-year period of time, there were two bamas. There was a central bama, right? The bama Sibor, and everybody's individual and private bama. So when Rabbi Meir says that anything which is volunteered could be offered, which one is he talking about? The central or the backyard? So Rashi very clearly writes, "Kol anida v'anida krabba bama kitana." We're talking about in their backyards. The ilu babama gadola, Rashi writes, akaran karve chovat sibor dechseva yasu es pesach bilgolgal. We're going to keep coming back to this, so get used to this. Carbon pesach we know was offered during those 14 years. We know it. Pesukim Yoshua say it. So we know that the carbon pesach was offered. Now that's a chovat sibor. That's an obligation on the community, right? Rashi's going to write. I told you this a number of times already. The carbon pesach is viewed as a carbon sibor, even though individuals bring it, but it's still a communal offering, right? It's atypical in that most of the time, in fact, all the time, communal offerings are one carbon, which represent the entire Jewish people. Here, everybody brings their own carbon pesach, but still it's communal. Okay, we know the carbon pesach was brought in Gilgal, so therefore, it's not even in the discussion. Obviously, chovos, obligatory karbanos, are brought in Gilgal. The discussion that Reb Meir is having is, what can I bring in my backyard? Right? Which karbanos am I allowed to bring during this 14 years of heter bamos? So, ela b'ktana, v'amar d'karvin adarmin adavos, I'm reading in Rashi. V'lo chovos, v'toros kohanim t'nila behedja l'Reb Meir. Okay, and if you look at Toros Kohanim, Rashi says, you'll see all this explicitly, that he's talking about the bama katana. Good. So, opinion number one is the opinion of Rav Meir. He says that you can bring neder and adav into your backyard, voluntary offerings, even menachos, even the carbon nazir. Okay. The chachamim omrim lo karvi yachid ela olos vishlamim bilvad. The chachamim say no. What? Only ola and shlamim. And that's it.
What period of time are we talking about?
14 years.
In your backyard.
Okay. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Kosha Tzibra Vayachid Makriven Ba'oal Moed Shebemidbar Makriven Ba'oal Moed Shebegilgal. Okay. According to Rabbi Yehuda, this is opinion number three. Anything which the community offers in the while we were traveling in the desert, right, on the central Mishkan, and there only was a central Mishkan, so that's what we offered while we were in that's what they offered during Gilgal. Ma bein ol Moshe b'Midbar lebein ol Moshe b'Gilgal, ol Moshe b'Midbar lo hayu bamos mataros, ol Moshe b'Gilgal hayu bamos mataros. And the difference is, says Rabbi Yehuda very simply, is heter abamos. But what was actually offered on the central bama in Gilgal was the same of what they were offering in the Mishkan during the 40 years in the desert. Ubamaso Shibarosh Gago, Lo hayamakrev alea ol avishlamin. And now, we're in our backyards, right, during these 14 years, and we can offer what? It's interesting. It says, Bama so sheberosh gagal. Like people put their bamas, where they put it? So on the rooftops. Okay? Rooftop bamas. So lo hayamakrev alea ol ol avishlamin. The only thing that was offered was ol and shlamin. Okay. And then finally, a fourth opinion in this brisa of a chacham and marmin, kol shat si bar makrivim ba'al moshe be'mid bar makrivim ba'al moshe be'gilgal. Anything that they offered in ol moed in the desert, they offered in Gilgal, v'kan v'kan lo karvu yachid ela ola v'shlamid b'vad. Now, I read the chachamim, it sounds awfully similar to Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't seem like there's any deviation whatsoever of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda versus the opinion of the Chachamim. Gemara later on will pick up on that. Gemara later on will ask. And finally, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Af Tzibar Lo Ikruva Ela Pesachim. The community, the only carbon that they brought was the carbon Pesach. That was the only obligatory carbon that was brought on in Gilgal, in the central location. The Chovo Shekavu Lehem Zman and obligatory korbanos that were on the clock. Meaning your daily offerings, your musaf offerings, but if there was an obligatory offering that was not clock-based, that was not date-based, Rashi on the bottom of the previous page gives examples. Par helm davar shel tzibur, right? Par kohen gadol, right? Those types of karbanos, so no. So they were not offered on in Gilgal during those 14 years. What if we had to bring them? I guess they were put on hold, suspended. Okay, that's a lot. Those are five separate opinions in the Braisa, although the difference between opinion 3 and 4, right now we don't see it. Five different opinions in the Braisa in terms of what you're able to bring during these 14 years of Gilgal. What could you bring in your backyard? Plus, another layer of discussion, what could actually be brought in Gilgal? Which karbanos are allowed to be brought in Gilgal? Is Gilgal treated like a regular Beis HaMikdash where you basically can offer everything, or is Gilgal itself even limited? Okay, tomorrow we'll get together. We'll go through each position more carefully. The Gemara will start from the top of the next Amud. The Gemara is going to go through each position carefully, source each position, explain the nuanced differences between each position. Okay, we'll continue in the discussion of Bamas Yachin.